You know, it's amazing sometimes how even the music goes along with messages. Talk about how I love God's laws, because I'm going to talk about one aspect of God's laws today. You know, Pentecost is only a couple of weeks away. It's a holy day that depicts the first fruits of God that are being called out today. The key part of being a first fruit is keeping God's laws, and the Sabbath is one is the most significant part of this. We're going to cover many scriptures today from Genesis to Revelation about keeping the Sabbath day and what it means to the true children of God. And we're going to be talking about physical and spiritual aspects. Several times in scriptures we will cover today, God is showing here that properly keeping the Sabbath day is really important because it reflects our attitude and obedience to God, both physically and spiritually. Keeping God's holy Sabbath and respecting it as God's holy time shows we are putting God first in our lives. The results of our obedience and having that relationship with God is becoming a resurrected spiritual son of God with eternal life in His kingdom. What a wonderful blessing to know God's laws, to know His Sabbath, to keep it properly. And the title is Sabbath from Beginning to End. Sabbath from Beginning to End. Because I'm going to go all the way from Genesis to Revelation, showing about the Sabbath day. So let's... And the first part of it is the Old Testament law and teaching, the Old Covenant from creation to the coming of John the Baptist. It notes that the Old Covenant was in force until John the Baptist came. That's in Matthew 12:8 and Luke 6:5. I don't plan to turn there. And also the life of Jesus Christ, the way He lived, the way He taught. He taught and lived the New Covenant. You know, He didn't do sacrifices and He didn't stone people and He didn't have them stoned. He lived and showed how to live the New Covenant. And so we're also going to get into the New Covenant part of the Sabbath. But first of all, let's go back to Genesis verse 2. We need to go where it all started. Genesis 2 verses 1 to 4. This is a creation of man and animals and what's on earth today. It's a recreation of the earth, but it's to us it's creation because everything we know today was created at that time. Genesis 2 verse 1, it says, thus the heavens and the earth and all the hosts of them were finished. So all the physical things were finished on this earth. And on the seventh day, God ended His work which He had done, and He rested on the seventh day from all His work which He had done. Then God blessed the Sabbath day and sanctified it, because in it He rested from all His work which God had created and made. It says, this is the history of the heavens and the earth when they were created, in the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens. So physically made the earth and the heavens, like we know it today, and our physical bodies and all animals and everything we know. And the seventh day, He rested. You know, God didn't have to rest, but He did. He set an example for us. That seventh day was created and sanctified. Verse 4 shows the history of that creation. The term rested equals Shabbat in Hebrew, meaning literally to rest or to sabbatize. God doesn't need to rest, but He did as an example for us, showing that it is a way to live. Of course, Jesus Christ, we'll see later on, who was the person, who was the God that created everything, rested and kept the Sabbath in the New Testament. Exodus 20, verse 8 to 11. This is one of the two places I'm going to go to as far as the commandments to talk about the formalizing of the Sabbath day, all that was already given at creation. Exodus verse 20. We're going to verses 8 through 11. Exodus 20, 11 says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work, you nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gates. So he's telling even the stranger should be keeping the Sabbath if you're on your property or in your control. He says, for in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. So he's confirming that he actually created and hallowed it, made it holy at creation. This is before God's laws were formally canonized here like they were in the Ten Commandments. In Deuteronomy 5, it's another saying of the Ten Commandments with a little bit different wording, which adds some meaning to the Sabbath day. Deuteronomy 5, verse 12 to 15. Deuteronomy 5, verse 12. It says, observe the Sabbath day to keep it holy as the Lord your God commanded you. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work, you, nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your ox, nor your donkey, nor any of your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gates, that your male servant and your female servant may rest as well as you. He said, and remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out of there by a mighty hand and by an outstretched arm. Therefore the Lord your God commanded you to keep the Sabbath day. You know, what he's saying here is that they weren't keeping God's laws. They weren't keeping the Sabbath day. And so the Sabbath day has a special meaning for it today because it means that we're coming out of sin. We're coming out of that bondage. We've accepted Jesus Christ's sacrifice for forgiveness of sins, and we're living the right way of life, which includes keeping the Sabbath properly. So it's a real important and to realize that it has a special meaning in that, that we are. It shows that we have come out of bondage, out of sin, to a different way of life, to a way of life that Christ lived and showed. Let's turn to Mark. We're going to come back to Exodus. Let's turn to Mark chapter 2, because Jesus Christ also verified that the Sabbath day was made at creation. Mark 2:27 and 28. And he said to them, the Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath. Therefore, the Son of Man is also Lord of the Sabbath. So he's not only saying that the Sabbath was made, which he was made in creation, but it's made for man, and he is Lord of it. If you want a Lord's day, it's the Sabbath day. You know, people get mixed up later on when the Lord's day is talking about the time of tribulation, but it is the day of the Lord because he is the Lord of it. Let's go back to Exodus 16. This is also before the Ten Commandments were formally given. It talks about why God wants us to keep the seventh day. Give some reasons. Exodus 16. Israel had come to the wilderness. We're going to start at verse 4. Israel had come to the wilderness of Sin, which is on the east side of the Red Sea, between Elim and Mount Sinai, and on the 15th day of the second month since leaving Egypt. The Israelites were complaining about having food and saying they had it better back in Egypt, which really wasn't true. They were just griping. God showed the seventh day Sabbath importance and his involvement with those who follow and keep the Sabbath, created by Jesus Christ's creation. It was a law of God confirmed here again, even though formerly given at Mount Sinai as part of the Ten Commandments, the holy righteous law of God. So let's go to verse 4, Exodus 16, verse 4. This is after they were complaining and said they didn't have any food. Then the Lord said to Moses, behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain quota every day, that I may test them, whether they will walk in my law or not. And it shall be on the sixth day that they shall prepare what they bring it in, and it shall be twice as much as they gather daily. So he's saying, I'm going to give them food to test them. And we're going to see more of what he was talking about. Let's go to verse 11, because he's going to give them manna and quail. So in verse 11, then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, I have heard the complaints of the children of Israel. Speak to them, saying, at twilight you shall eat meat, and in the morning you shall be filled with bread, and you shall know that I am the Lord your God. So God's going to give him those. He's going to give him that bread and that quail, and know that it comes from God. So it was the quails came up at evening and covered the camp, and in the morning the dew lay all around the camp. And when the layer of dew lifted, there on the surface of the wilderness was a small round substance as fine as frost on the ground. So when the children of Israel saw it, they said to one another, what is it? For they did not know what it was. And Moses said to them, this is the bread which the Lord has given you to eat. This is the thing which the Lord has commanded. Let every man gather it according to each one's need, one omer for each person, according to the number of the person. Let every man take for those who are in his tent. In other words, they were to take the right amount of food. They weren't to be gorging or taking too much, but they would take enough. And he provided enough for everyone. And so they did that. And if you go on to verse 20, he said, and Moses said, let no one leave it until morning. Notwithstanding, they did not heed Moses, but some of them left part of it until morning, and it bred worms and stank, and Moses was angry with them. So they gathered it every morning, every man according to his need, and when the sun became hot, it melted. And so it was on the sixth day that they gathered twice as much bread, two omers for each one, and all the rulers of the congregation came and told Moses. They wondered, why is this happening? Then he said to them, this is what the Lord has said. Tomorrow is a Sabbath rest, a holy Sabbath to the Lord. bake what you will bake today, and boil what you will boil. And here's one of the areas in the Bible is talking about the preparation day, about doing your heavy baking and boiling before the Sabbath day, so you don't do it on the Sabbath. There's other places, but this is one of them. And he says, lay up for yourself all that remains to be kept until morning. So they laid it up in the morning. Moses commanded, and it did not stink, nor were there any worms in it. So on the Sabbath, on the Friday, the sixth day, they had double the manna, and it didn't stink like it did all the rest of the days, because God was showing them that was the Sabbath day, and he was serious about it, and he would take care of them. Then Moses said, eat that today, for today is the Sabbath to the Lord. Today you will not find it in the field. 6 days you shall gather it, but on the seventh day, the Sabbath, there will be none. Now it happened that some of the people went out on the seventh day to gather, but they found none. And the Lord said to Moses, how long do you refuse to keep my commandments and my laws? See, for the Lord has given you the Sabbath. Therefore, he gives you on the sixth day bread for 2 days. He said, let every man remain in his place. Let no man go out of his place on the seventh day. So the people rested on the seventh day. So here's an example right here that the seventh day was to be kept physically and spiritually. Because the bread would not be there on the Sabbath. They would have double the manna of the bread on the day before, and it would carry over and wouldn't stink like it wouldn't do the rest of the days. So God's showing his Sabbath day, and he's even showing that it's a test back then to keep the Sabbath, to keep it properly, keep it both physically and spiritually. Even though the children of Israel never could really keep it spiritually. There were only a few people called out like there is today. Israel had come to... So, in Exodus 31, let's turn to Exodus 31. The seventh-day Sabbath is so important. God made a covenant with his people. It is a sign of being God's people and used as a test commandment. Exodus 31, verse 12. Again, this was before... this one was after the formal providing of the Ten Commandments. Exodus 31, verse 12. The Lord said to Moses, saying, speak also to the children of Israel, saying, surely my Sabbath you shall keep, for it is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that you may know that I am the Lord who sanctifies you. You shall keep the Sabbath, therefore it is holy to you. Everyone who profanes it shall surely be put to death. For whosoever does any work on it, that person shall be cut off from among his people. He said, work shall be done for 6 days, but the seventh is a Sabbath of rest, holy to the Lord. Whoever does any work on the Sabbath day, he shall surely be put to death. He said, therefore, the children of Israel shall keep the Sabbath to observe the Sabbath throughout their generations as a perpetual covenant. It is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, and on the seventh day rested and was refreshed. He also references that it's a sign between him and his people. He also references they were brought out of Israel and that he created it in six days. He created the earth 6 days and rested the seventh day. So he is reconfirming here, and he's making covenant with people. And we're going to see some of that. If you keep my Sabbath properly, then I'm going to raise you up. I'm going to lift you up. I'm going to bless you. I'm going to take care of you. Just like he did on the seventh day, he gave them that manna, that bread from heaven. And Christ, of course, is the ultimate bread from heaven that God is giving us. Let's turn to Leviticus 23. Verse 3, this is where all the Sabbath and holy days are listed. And I just want to go over a couple of important keys here. Seventh-day Sabbath is a reiterator here, along with God's feasts and holy days. It's really where in the Bible we usually go to, you know, keep track or say, here's what the feasts are, and then go through them in order. In verse 23:3, though, the first feast God talks about is the Sabbath day. 6 days shall work be done, but the seventh day is a Sabbath, a holy solemn rest. 6 days shall work be done, but the seventh day is a Sabbath of solemn rest, a holy convocation. You shall do no work on it. It is the Sabbath of the Lord in all your dwelling. So it's a feast day, just like all the other feast days are, and it's a holy day, like some of the other holy days, and it's an important one. If you look at the word holy convocation, holy equals kadesh in Hebrew. It means a sacred place or thing to be consecrated, dedicated, hallowed. In other words, it's by God. It's holy because God says it is, and God makes it holy. Convocation is micra in Hebrew, something called out, a public meeting, an assembly, a calling, a reading. So if you put two together, it says we are called and required by God to attend a special, sacred, and holy public meeting every Sabbath and holy day. That's what it means. And it means physically and spiritually to be here, to prepare for it, to be here in mind and body. Many places in the rest of the Old Testament talk about the Sabbath day and holy days and keeping of them. Nehemiah, all and more particularly chapters 1, 8, 10, 13, when he was to rebuild in some of in Jerusalem and do some work, was commissioned by God to reestablish his laws and commandments of Sabbath days and holy days and feasts. Hezekiah, 2 Chronicles 29:32, was righteous and defeated Sennacherib by God's intervention, cleaned up the temple of idols and paganism, reinstituted ordinance of worship to God, reinstituted Passover, the days of unleavened bread, and all of God's holy days and feasts, including the Sabbath. Jeremiah set guards at gates and set boundaries for Israel to keep Sabbath properly. Ezekiel confirmed new moons, Sabbath, holy days, feasts, and for God's calendar, along with the sacrifice required back then, plus many more places throughout the Old Testament and the Old Covenant, the Sabbath was part of God's ways. Now I'm going to turn to a couple that even though it was more of a physical covenant that God gave Israel, the spiritual offering was always there. If you had God's Holy Spirit, if God called you and you accepted that calling, but it was always there. In Isaiah 56, verse 1 to 7, there's a couple of places in Isaiah that talks about keeping the Sabbath properly, not just physically, but physically and spiritually, and the root. Isaiah 56, verse 1 to 7, starting in verse 1, thus says the Lord, keep justice and do righteously, for my salvation is about to come, and my righteousness to be revealed. And everybody's talking about as Christ comes back. Blessed is the man who does this, and the son of man who lays hold of it, who keeps from defiling the Sabbath, and keeps his hand from doing any evil. In other words, you keep from defiling it. Defiling is a spiritual aspect of keeping the Sabbath. It's not just physical, it's physical and spiritual. And keeps his hand from doing any evil. In other words, you have to be righteous and keep the Sabbath the right mind and attitude. So do not let the son of the foreigner who has joined himself to the Lord speak, saying, the Lord has utterly separated me from his people. Nor let the eunuch say, here I am, a dry tree. For thus says the Lord to the eunuchs who keep my Sabbaths and choose what pleases me and hold fast my covenant, even to them I will give in my house and within my walls a place and a name. So that's the world tomorrow. God's going to raise us up, raise people up who follow him and keep the Sabbath properly. It says, better than that of the sons and daughters, I will give them an everlasting name that will not be cut off, that shall not be cut off. Also the sons of the foreigner who join themselves to the Lord to serve him, to love the name of the Lord to his servants, everyone who keeps from defiling the Sabbath and holds fast my covenant, even them I will bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings, their sacrifice will be accepted on my altar, for my house will be called a house of prayer for all nations. So God here is promising keeping the Sabbath as part of God's law, keeping it properly. Keep without, when we said without defiling, it's physical and spiritual. And let's turn to Isaiah 58, because there's another term that's similar to this. Then I'm going to summarize it a little bit. Isaiah 58, verse 8. It says, then your light shall bring forth like the morning. Your healing shall spring forth speedily, and your righteousness shall go before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. Then you shall call, and the Lord will answer. You shall cry, and he shall say, here I am. It's a relationship with God we have. And he goes on to say, if you take away the yoke from your midst, the pointing of the finger, and speaking wickedness, if you extend your soul to the hungry, and satisfy the afflicted soul, then your light shall dawn as the darkness, and your darkness shall be as the noonday. The Lord will guide you continually, and satisfy your soul in drought, and strengthen your bones. You shall be like a watered garden, and like a spring of water, whose waters do not fail. For those from among you shall build the old waste places. Build the old waste places. You shall raise up the foundation of many generations, and you shall be called the repairer of the breach, restorer of streets to dwell in. And he goes on to say, if you turn away from your foot from the Sabbath, from doing your pleasure in my holy day, and call the Sabbath delight, the holy day of the Lord, honorable, and shall honor him, not doing your own ways, nor finding your own pleasure, nor speaking your own words, then you shall delight yourself in the Lord. So he's saying not doing, you know, we don't do a lot of sports and activities, and we don't work, we obviously don't work. And we do our heavy banking stuff before the Sabbath, so we can come to the Sabbath, so we can rest a little bit, we might spend family time, we read, study. We go to church. We pray. We get more time to pray and sometimes fast. It's a unique day that God has given us. And you shall delight you. And he says, then you shall delight yourself in the Lord and will cause you to ride on the high hills of the earth and feed you with the heritage of Jacob your father. The mouth of the Lord has spoken it. So that's a blessing, God says. God is showing here in Isaiah 56 and 58, showing that properly keeping the Sabbath day is really important because it reflects our attitude and obedience to him, with the result being a child of God and the kingdom of God. Keeping God's holy Sabbath and respecting it as God's holy time shows we are putting God first in our lives. It's not just another day to go to church. In other words, what he's saying. You know, go to church and then do whatever else you want. The Sabbath is a new covenant teaching. The Sabbath is a new covenant teaching. Let's turn to Luke chapter 6. The Sabbath is a new covenant teaching. Starting in Luke chapter 6, verses 1 to 11. Luke chapter 6, starting in verse 1. Now it happened on the second Sabbath after the first that he went through the grain fields, and his disciples plucked the heads of grain and ate them, rubbing them in their hands. And some of the Pharisees said to them, why are you doing what is not lawful to do on the Sabbath day? Now, they said, what is not? And a lot of people look at that. I've heard people, commentaries of people in the world of churches say, well, see, he didn't keep the Sabbath. No, he did keep the Sabbath. He taught, he kept it. He said, I'm Lord of the Sabbath. He never denied it. But what we're talking about here, and you're going to, as we read through, you said that was a Jewish law. The Jewish made so many laws on the Sabbath that were unbearable for men to keep. They just made it a hard, rigid line with about 1,500 some laws of how to keep the Sabbath. You couldn't walk very far on the Sabbath day. You couldn't open doors, close doors, turn lights off. They were so strict in some of their laws. But Jesus answering and said, have you not even read this, what David did when he was hungry, he and those who were with him? Now he went into the house of God, took and ate the show bread, and also gave some to those with him, which is not lawful for any of the but the priest to eat. It was not lawful by Jewish law, not by God law. That's what he was talking about. He said, the Son of Man is also Lord of the Sabbath, so he's also confirming, I am the Lord of the Sabbath. In other words, we have the Sabbath. I'm keeping it, and I'm teaching it. He said, now it happened after another Sabbath also, they entered the synagogue and talked, and a man was there whose right hand was withered. So the scribes and Pharisees watched him closely whether he would heal on the Sabbath day that they might find an accusation against him. But he knew their thoughts and said to the man who had withered hand, arise and stand here. Arise and stand here. And he rose and stood. Then Jesus said to him, I will ask you one thing. Is it lawful on the Sabbath to do good or to do evil, to save life or destroy? And when he had looked around at them all, he said to the man, stretch out your hand. And he did so, and his hand was restored as whole as the other. So he healed on the Sabbath day. And the Sadducees and Pharisees didn't like it because you can't heal on the Sabbath day. Now, I would say that Jesus Christ was balanced. Now, he healed on the Sabbath day. He probably didn't go all Sabbath and just do nothing but heal people. Just like we shouldn't. We can do good on the Sabbath. We might go visit some elderly or go visit someone. But if that's all we do, that's not the right approach. We come to church. We do the things we talk about. We do our work ahead of time, our baking and having to get ready at the Sabbath. So we can relax on the Sabbath, spend some family time. We can pray and study. We can go to church. And maybe we'll visit and have a meal together. But if we do nothing but just do what we think is good, it's not the right answer. Good is doing balance on the Sabbath day. And that's what God wants. That's what he's talking about here. He healed. He preached. He studied, he talked to his disciples, he prayed all the time. He set a good example. Luke 4:16. Jesus taught on the Sabbath day as his custom or way of life was, as part of living God's way and of the new covenant where God through Christ puts his laws in our hearts and minds to keep. Hearts and minds to keep. Luke 4:16. In 16, he says, so he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. So it was Christ's custom to keep the Sabbath day. In that same chapter, in verse 31, he says, then he went down to Capernaum, a city of Galilee, and was teaching them on the Sabbath. Multiple Sabbaths he taught them. It was his way of life. Luke 6, verse 6, going through a few scriptures to just show that Jesus Christ taught on the Sabbath day. And he said later on, I believe it's Matthew 28, he said, you know, teach what I taught. He taught on the Sabbath day. He taught it. He lived it. He says, teach what I taught. Follow me, Paul says. Follow me as I follow Christ. But he kept the Sabbath day. We'll see later. Luke 6, verse 6. Now it happened on another Sabbath also that he entered the synagogue and taught, and a man was there whose right hand was with her. And this goes on to tell the same story about healing on the Sabbath day. Mark 1, verse 21. Mark 1, verse 21. Then they went up to Capernaum, and immediately on the Sabbath he entered the synagogue and taught. This is Jesus Christ. And I got one last scripture here in Mark 6, verse 2, about Christ teaching on the Sabbath. It says, Mark 6, let's go to read verse 1. Then he went out from there and came to his own country, and the disciples followed him. And when the Sabbath had come, he began to teach in the synagogue. And many who heard him were astonished, saying, where did this man get these things? And what wisdom is this which is given to him, and such mighty works are performed by his hands? He taught on the Sabbath day as his custom was, a way of life, and lived it. Set the perfect example. Luke 14. Luke 14, verses 1 to 5. Now it happens he went into the house of one of the rulers of the Pharisees to eat bread on the Sabbath day. They watched him closely. And behold, there was a certain man before him, and he had dropsy. And Jesus answered, speaking to the lawyers and Pharisees, saying, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath? But they kept silent. And he took him and healed him and let him go. Then he answered them in another teaching moment here on the Sabbath, saying, which of you, having a donkey or an ox that has fallen into a pit, will not immediately pull him out on the Sabbath day? Now, we don't put oxes or ditches on the Sabbath day. He's talking about some truly emergency that happened. In other words, Kathy Fuller and Mrs. Bowling were here, and she got truly sick. She had that headache. It was an ox and a ditch to take her back home. If you don't normally do it, but it's an ox and a ditch. It's occasion that we plan not to happen. We plan to keep God's Sabbath properly, but once in a while, an emergency comes up, we have to take care of. I mean, if I woke up a Sabbath morning, and I had a water hose in my house or a water line was busted, and water was going through my house, I'd have to do something about it. I couldn't. Well, I'm gonna go to the Sabbath day. I'm just gonna leave my house full of water. No, I'd have to figure out shut it off. I may not fix it, but at least I got to go shut it off and clean a little bit of it up. But God's talking about, Jesus Christ is talking about the Sabbath day. Let's go to Hebrews 4:9. A lot of people, you know, you hear people say, well, God doesn't teach the Sabbath day in the new covenant. Yeah, he did. The New Testament's full of the Sabbath day, and I'm going to mention that a little bit later. Hebrews 4:9 is a scripture where it says that the Sabbath day remains a requirement by this New Testament scripture. So Hebrews 4:9. Hebrews 4:9 says, there remains, therefore, a rest for the people of God. This word rest here is sabbatismos. The Greek word sabbatismos. It's used in verse 9 for rest, meaning a Sabbath rest, a rest from all work. A rest like that of God when he had finished the work of creation. So he says the creation was the Sabbath. It was made sanctified and made holy. This source was Easton's 1897 Bible Dictionary, and some of the old Bible dictionaries had some of that. The new ones, you know, they've changed that. But Paul here states there remains a keeping of the Sabbath day as God had commanded from the beginning. Of the 9 different times the word rest is used in the first 11 verses here in Hebrews, this is the only one that is sabbatismos, the one in verse 9. Verse 11 is the summation of the whole matter, but I want to go to the word for rest here is a Greek word, katapausis, and is a noun, meaning a putting to rest. It's the same word used in verse 1, which sets the tone for what Paul is talking about here. If we go to verse 1, 4 verse 1, it says, therefore, since a promise remains of entering his rest, let us fear lest any of you be seen to come short of it. He's talking about following God so that someday we'll enter into rest. In other words, we'll become a spirit being. And in verse 11, he sums up, after Paul says there remains a keeping of the Sabbath day. In verse 11, he says, therefore, let us be diligent to enter that rest, lest anyone fall according to the same example of disobedience. So he's saying be diligent to keep the Sabbath, to keep God's laws, to keep his ways, so we enter into God's rest someday as a spiritual being, as a son of God. in the kingdom of God. The New Testament or New Covenant Church kept the Sabbath. I mentioned some places where Jesus Christ did and taught it. Paul taught personally by Jesus Christ for 3 years. The apostle to the Gentiles kept and taught on the Sabbath day. You'd think that if there was a Sunday or other day, since he was to the Gentiles and they didn't keep worship days like that, you'd think it would be Sunday then, but it wasn't. All he taught was the Sabbath day. Acts 13, verse 14 to 16. Acts 13. Go through a few scriptures where Paul actually taught and lived the Sabbath day, as he was taught by Jesus Christ personally in those 3 years. Acts 13, verse 14. It says, "But when they departed from Perga, they came to Antioch in Pisidia, and went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and sat down. And after the reading of the law and the prophets, the rulers of the synagogue sent to them, saying, 'Men and brethren, if you have any word of exhortation for the people, say on.' Then Paul stood up and motioned with his hands, and 'Men of Israel, and you who fear God, listen.'" Now he had a short dissertation, probably even shorter than a sermonette, because the next few verses here, he goes on to talking about David and about Jesus Christ. And then at the end of that time, he says in verse 42, "So when the Jews went out of the synagogue, the Gentiles begged that these words might be preached to them the next Sabbath. And now when the congregation had broken up, many of the Jews and devout proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who speaking to them, persuading them to continue in the grace of God. On the next Sabbath, almost the whole city came together to hear the word of God." So Paul kept and taught on the Sabbath day. Turn to Acts 16, verse 13. Here Paul had journeyed to Philippi. It says in verse 13, "And on the Sabbath day we went out of the city to the riverside, where prayer was customarily made, and we sat down and spoke to the women who met there." Another example of Paul keeping and teaching on the Sabbath day. To the next page, or chapter 17, verse 2. Paul traveled to Thessalonica. It says, "Then Paul, as his custom was, went into them, and for three Sabbaths reasoned with them from the Scriptures." And the last one I'm going to mention here is 18, is the next page, chapter 18. And here Paul had gone to Corinth, and he actually had stayed there and worked for a while. And in verse 4, it says, "And he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath and persuaded both Jews and Greeks." So we mentioned something about Paul and his journeys. Nowhere is there any change of keeping the Sabbath day as a day of worship, or any mention of it anywhere here or anywhere in the Bible, nor any options of any other weekly worship options or changes. There is none. Colossians 2, verse 8. Here, God talks about keeping the holy days, which would include the Sabbath. Colossians 2, starting in verse 8. "Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ." In other words, he said, be careful. People might be trying to teach you there's another day or something. He said, don't let them do that. Teach what I taught you, which he taught the Sabbath day, in which Christ did. He says, "For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and are complete in him, who is the head of all principality and power. In him you are also circumcised, with a circumcision made with our hands, by putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, in which you were raised with him through faith in the working of God, who raised him from the dead." In other words, we're spiritually circumcised in our hearts and minds and our brains by that calling, by that forgiveness, by that Holy Spirit. "The sacrifice of Jesus Christ made it possible to forgive our sins if we repent of them, change and follow God's laws, and receive the Holy Spirit and become a converted child of God, following God's ways, his calendar, his Sabbaths." We're going to see that. Verse 13, he says, "And being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he has made alive together with him, have forgiven you of all trespasses, having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us, and is taken out of the way, having nailed it to the cross." In other words, he nailed our sins to the cross. He took them from us. We repent and we ask that forgiveness, and he takes our sins and removes them. So having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them. So Christ made it possible to know God and to triumph over this world in his ways. So let no one judge you in food or in drink or regarding a festival or a new moon or Sabbath, which are a shadow of things to come, but the substance is of Christ. For the substance of the holy days and our living is Christ, as we keep the Sabbath and holy days. It says, now having our sins forgiven, being converted, kept God's Sabbath and holy days without worrying about what anyone else thinks. They are the plan of God, and that's what that word is, are. It's not were or could be. It's they are the plan of God being carried out by Jesus Christ. The word esti in the Greek, noted here as a present indicative. So when it says they are a shadow of things, that's what they mean. It talks about this. So let no one judge you. Don't let anyone bother you about it, because it's the right thing to do. It says, don't let anyone judge you in food or in drink or regarding a festival or a new moon or Sabbath, which are a shadow of things to come, for the substance of Christ. You know, there's the word esti in Greek. It's present indicative. The key is that it's a present indicative word, meaning it is existing at this time. And it is a shadow. It shows God's plan. It helps to understand this Bible, understand what God's doing. Many times the Sabbath is mentioned in the Gospels, been kept by others. One of them, Matthew 24:20, I won't turn it to, is the Sabbath day in effect when tribulation comes upon the earth, just before Christ returns to rule the earth and bring redemption to all. He mentioned that. He says, you know, don't let your flight, when tribulation comes, don't let your flight be on the Sabbath day. And he talks about it. Many times the Sabbath mentioned the Gospels being kept by others, such as during Passover time and Christ's crucifixion, is kept by the apostles, Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of Christ, many instances. You know, the Sabbath is mentioned 78 times in the Old Testament and 57 times in the New Testament. You know, since there are only about a third as many verses in the New Testament as the Old Testament, Sabbath is mentioned over twice as often as in the New Testament. Did you ever realize that? It's mentioned twice as much in the New Testament as the Old Testament. The Sabbath is God's way of life, absolutely. Let's go back to Isaiah and see what it says about the Sabbath world tomorrow. Isaiah 66, verse 18. Isaiah 66, verse 18. Isaiah 66, verse 18 to 23. It says, for I know their works and their thoughts. I will gather all nations and tongues, and they shall come and see my glory. Now, that's not going to happen to the world tomorrow. I'm going to gather all nations and tongues, and they shall come and see my glory. I will set a sign among them and those among them who escape. I will send the nations to Tarshish and Pew and Lud, who draw the bow, and Tubal and Javan, to the coastlands afar off, who have not heard my fame nor seen my glory, and they shall declare my glory among the Gentiles. Then they shall bring all your brethren for an offering to the Lord out of all nations, on horses and chariots and in litters, on mules and on camels, to my holy mountain Jerusalem, says the Lord, as the children of Israel bring an offering in a clean vessel from the house of the Lord. And I'll also take some of them for priests and Levites, says the Lord. For as the new heavens and new earth, which I will make, shall remain before me, says the Lord. He says, so shall your descendants and your name remain. And it shall come to pass that from one new moon to another, in other words, using God's calendar, and from one Sabbath to another, all flesh shall come to worship before me, says the Lord. So when Jesus Christ comes back, he's going to be teaching the Sabbath day, and people are going to be coming before him on that Sabbath day. Let's finish with Revelation and what God says about the Ten Commandments. In the end of man and the life of all who become spirit, which is the Sabbath day, is a key part of Revelation 12:17. I know this is a famous, probably a famous scripture everybody understands, but I think it's so important. It's one of the scriptures I will never forget. It says on Revelation 12:17, and the dragon was enraged with the woman, and he went to make war with the rest of their offspring who keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. In other words, here's the law and grace principle of the Bible. We follow God's law, but we've had to repent by the grace of God and be forgiven. And now, whenever we sin and fall short, we repent and we ask forgiveness. And by that grace that Christ gives us, we live and we keep God's laws. And the Sabbath is one of them. It's a test commandment, actually, what God says. In chapter 14, verse 12, it says, here is the patience of the saints. Here are those who keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. Again, the Sabbath day is a key part of that commandment keeping. And let's, one last scripture, Revelation 22, verse 14. This is the new heavens and new earth, and it's going to be a wonderful place there, a spiritual place, the kingdom of God. God says in verse 14, it says, blessed are those who do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter through the gates in the city. The seventh day Sabbath is God's way, and Christ is Lord of it. He created it, he lived it, he taught it, and told us to keep it and do all that he says. It is the only regular weekly day of worship mentioned, taught, and lived the entire Bible, along with the holy days from Genesis through Revelation, from beginning to end. As mentioned, several of the scriptures we have covered today, God is showing here that properly keeping the Sabbath day is really important because it reflects our attitude of obedience to God, both physically and spiritually. Keeping God's holy day and respecting it as God's holy time shows we are putting God first in our lives. The results of our obedience and having that relationship with God is becoming a resurrected spiritual son of God with eternal life in his kingdom.